Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. We have a controversial subject today. I triggered some leftists, I triggered some inconsistent people, and I've discovered a pocket of people who are extremely self-deceiving around age of consent. They want everything. They want the age of consent to be set at 18, but then they want to argue, like they did in my case, that, oh, she was 19, but she couldn't consent. Or they want the age at 16, but if it's a male who's older, they want a special pleading to do. It's like, no, once you're free choice, you are affirming that the woman herself, the 18-year-old woman, is capable of making decisions. The 16-year-old woman is capable of making decisions. And if she decides to have sex with Dr. Disrespect rather than having some gay sex in California, she can. And it's actually not a bad choice. You know, Dr. Disrespect is a well-muscled man, a man who has combined somehow tactical muscle looks with gaming streaming. Like, he's a gaming streamer, like you would expect someone like this to be fat, but Dr. Disrespect has made a specialty in looking more muscled. So I tested the response of the world, and even on Wikipedia had warned me, because on Wikipedia they say, despite the fact that the age of consent is generally 16 in the US, It is a common thing for people to assume that you are a pedophile if you have sex with people under 18. I mean, there's a segment like this on Wikipedia that basically says, yeah, JF, you're gonna be faced with all these retards who don't understand, or they want to advocate beyond the law. But the law is totally fine. And I personally think the law at 16, 18 is a little late, but I don't even argue for a change of the law. I'm like, whatever the game is. And this is the great sin of Dr. Disrespect. He disrespected the game. The game is, there's an age of consent. And if you're in that place, it's this age. If you're in this other place, it's this age. You shouldn't be apologizing if you are within those boundaries. And Dr. Disrespect made the great error of apologizing. And he thought that it would calm down everyone. To the contrary, his apology has memed stronger than his initial cancellation from Twitch. So basically, in 2020, they had discovered some text of this guy with what seems to be, at least the only claim that's out there, is that it's a 17-year-old girl. Now, some people like Cringe Panda were saying yesterday, I'm still convinced it's not a girl. Well, he's a family man with a wife and a child. He has demonstrated his ability for heterosexual sex before. I'm not going to assume out of nowhere that the minor that he was talking to was a guy. I would need evidence for this. I'm not going to assume the exception. So I will assume it's a girl, unless demonstrated otherwise. And you have reactions like this. To me, just stating, hey, which is my position on Dr. Disrespect, he shouldn't have just sexted her, he should have inseminated her. Inseminate the woman, if she is at an age of consent in the current jurisdiction that you are with her. So if you're in Amsterdam, inseminate the woman at the age of consent of Amsterdam. If you're in the US, inseminate the woman at the age of consent in your local state. Always respect local jurisdiction when inseminating. But you have people who are saying, I'm so sick of perverts and enablers. People like this exist. They live down the street from you. They are probably sexualizing your daughter as she gets into her car to go to high school. Individuals like Dr. Disrespect and JF make it so terrifying to be a parent. Jesus fucking Christ. The fact that you are alarmed at me for honestly talking about the state of the law in the US shows that you are probably a bad parent, because you're obsessed at the great flashing sign and you're not obsessed about the real danger that is that your daughter going to high school is in. There's no chance in hell that I will ever hurt your daughter. And in fact, you should look at people like me. There's very low chance that people like me will hurt your daughter. The people who will hurt your daughter eventually and who will objectify her sexually, by the way, too, they're not like me. And they wouldn't tweet about it. They wouldn't have a discussion, a public discussion. They wouldn't be intelligent enough even to have a public conversation on laws of consent and what they mean and how we should treat them. The people who will eventually victimize your daughter are exactly the people that you are intentionally ignoring. There's no chance that I will ever hurt your daughter. In fact, the worst thing that could happen with your daughter is that when she turns 18, she falls in love with me and I happen to be single and I inseminate her. The worst evil that I could do to your daughter is to make her have a baby. There's people out there who will do much worse to your daughter and they will equally objectify her. Doubting Thomas says, Jeff, not what other people are arguing against you, but why are you advocating for him participating in infidelity in the first place? For all we know, he is in a stable, loving relationship. I'm happy that you're asking this, because I want to make a couple of caveats here. And I wanted to start with this. In this case, normally my position is it is immoral to betray your wife. And what Dr. Disrespect has done here, just engaging with just sexting, is already to me a violation of morals. And I'm low threshold on this. I am very easy. It's very easy for me to detect sexual innuendos, and I'm absolutely allergic to married men discussing with women at all in private. There was actually recently a fan who was writing to me in DM, and she said something along the lines of "good night." And I made it clear to her, shut the fuck up and don't ever use these words with me again. I don't mind if people send me news item, I cover them on the show. But I am in a relationship that is serious. And to me, there is no way to entertain even a little kindness like hi or good night to a woman. No question. So in my normal life, my position on Dr. Disrespect would be it's immoral. But in this case, Dr. Disrespect has been passed through a whole cancellation process where everyone on Twitter is calling him a pedophile, a criminal pedophile. And he lost his channel at this point, being treated as a criminal pedophile. I cannot take a bunch of irrational mob people coming to me and saying, he's a pedo. And my response to this will not be, oh, well, he's not a pedo technically, but he did something wrong. No. Because if you come at me with a criminal accusation, I must find if you're crazy first. And the problem is that the mob going after Dr. Disrespect right now is a fucking insane mob. Because I know, because they went after me for a 19-year-old. So I know they don't care. They don't care about the age of consent. I know that the fact that she's 17 and they say 17, 364 days and 1 minute. They say she was a couple of minutes away from becoming 18 years old. They're going at him not because he's betrayed his wife. Not a single leftist has brought this up. Now, if you come at me with, as a crazy mob and make these crazy accusations, I must tell you, you go back and you reformulate your accusations before I will even care. And if they were coming at me in a month from now and say, Jeff, I want to have a discussion about husband Twitch streamers betraying their wives, I'm all for it. And I condemn Dr. Disrespect then. But as long as you're here trying to treat this guy as a criminal with false criminal implications, I will fully defend him. And I won't even care about the lesser offense of betraying his wife. And at the same time, I should mention, in today's world, there are people who are together, but they are not loyal to each other. So I don't know what's his situation. We would need to make a whole debate about this if you wanted me to care. But I won't care as long as the mob doesn't correct their attacks. We have a lot of super chats that came during the night. Thank you so much for those who support the show with super chats. By the way, if you'd like to support the show, use the dollar button under the Odyssey chat. Odyssey super chats are my favorite way to receive support for the show. And don't forget, if you join the Patreon or the Subscribe Star at the $20 level, we will have our private hangout this Friday in 2 days from now. Private hangout at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Tarmo says, the alt-right really was the most successful subversive movement in our recent history. JQ Consciousness won. Race Science won. If you are a conservative, you will get shamed and Nick will ratio you. This must be how the Germans felt in 1933. Well, a couple of things here. Was it how the Germans felt in 1933? I'm not sure. Because 1933 was a very different time. And the idea of bringing up race was not a taboo. I don't think that they had tried to make it a taboo before. So back then, people thought about race naturally. And I don't think that bringing it up as a political subject was that much of a revolution. But you're right. I mean, race won. But I wouldn't call the alt-right a subversive movement. I don't think it was a subversive movement. It was a front attack movement. You know, the subversive means that you do it with hidden intent, hidden tactics, and with the idea of subverting, of making something appear as it is not. There was no such thing with the alt-right. The alt-right won by truth and won just straight out, just telling the truth and then letting people judge for themselves. Tarmo was also saying in a super chat, he says, JF, if I have trouble recalling and quickly bringing up certain powerful facts or points in a debate and I tend to need time to construct perfect arguments, could this indicate that I am low IQ? Could it be something else? Well, you could be low IQ. Most people are not cut for surviving a debate. A true debate with a veteran, with a debate god, you cannot win if you're a regular person. So it could indicate that you're just part of the mass for your ability to debate, and there's no shame about it. It's a job, and perhaps you have a very good IQ to do plumbing. And in many ways, it's so much better for you to be a plumber than than to be in my shoes. So no shame if that's the case. That being said, there may be things that you may have also a high IQ and you are unable to bring these points up in your mind fast enough. And that, I would say, is experience. You need to have experience. And there's two ways. Either you have to find yourself in live debate situations, and it doesn't have to be with a great viewership, but you can engage anonymously in Discord channels, and the more you face arguments, the more you see, you will have a whole theory of where people can be coming from. What kind of angles can people raise about a point? For your second question, so acquire experience either by doing it or by listening to a lot of debate and being critical about them, seeing, okay, what's the angle that was used here? Analyze the full debate. Where did it go well? Where did it go wrong for a given speaker? And you can improve a lot if you do have a base of IQ, which I think you should have. You look like an intelligent person from your super chat. I think you should be able to get there with practice. And then about the time to construct perfect arguments, you say it's long. That is long for anyone. You know, in the Bloodsports days for a debate, I was thinking about it for about 8 hours. And I was working at the grocery store, placing my milk bags, milk bottles. And I was just thinking and thinking about it and distillating and boiling it down. So the fact that it's long to develop an argument, that's for everyone. The rest can be acquired with practice. All right. Cringe Panda says, I don't have the confidence to debate anybody. The social aspect makes me nervous and I can't make my points. But that's what I see in a lot of people my age. I mean, woman, as far as I know, I don't know a single woman who has achieved debate abilities of any kind. So, I mean, either you are a pioneer and you will make it, or no, there's just too much competitive thinking. You have to think of ideology from a competitive perspective, and that is two domains in which women suck. They can't think competitive and they can't think ideological. So women are just so far from being able to engage in a debate, it's not even worth it. Spirits Inside sends $8. Thank you so much. He says, the fact that it's always a small percentage of a racial population or group that is criminally violent proves that this is rooted just as much in early trauma, abuse, neglect, and abandonment as in genetics. Early trauma can damage the brain. I reject this view. So your view, if I am to phrase it in my way, you're saying, Jeff, it's not all black people that are violent. Therefore, there's just a small subsection of black people that are violent. Therefore, this small subsection must have had something else than blackness happen to them, than their black genes. Therefore, it must be environmental trauma, blah, blah, blah. The first thing I want you to realize is you talk about brain trauma. What causes brain trauma? Being hit on the fucking head. What causes being hit on the fucking head? The genes of your parents, basically. The genes of your parents, the genes of your neighbors, the genes of your cousins, and the genes of your grandmother. So your belief that trauma, that brain damage, is the key to understanding racial violence, you don't even understand that actually even your hypothesis is genetic. That's the first thing I want for you to realize is you're working with a false dichotomy to begin with. The genes that lead you to be hit on the head when you're young, unfortunately, are extremely racially skewed. It's because if you don't get hit on the head when you're young, it's probably because you had good parents that have not hit you on the head first. And they even probably cared for what school you were studying at so that there wouldn't be much head hitters at this school. Okay? This is all genetic. This is all the ability of the parental ability as it is encoded by genes. Now, I will tell you that even your reasoning, suppose that I was to put this argument aside, that you're working with a false dichotomy. Suppose that violence was truly a minority thing, and it's a proof that it's not genetic. No, it is not. And this reasoning is false because genes can play gambling. Genes can encode probabilistic behavior. Genes will not only do, oh, you should be violent or you shouldn't be violent. Genes will do, well, you should be violent 0.05% of the time. You should be violent if you got hit on the head when you were young. You should be violent if you can see the boobs of your mother when she holds you. See, when she holds you in public. We're going to talk about this single mom who starts as a single mom of three black babies. She's doing fine. She's doing fine. She's doing OnlyFans work, and that's paying. She is a strong, independent woman. But we can follow her through her OnlyFans careers down to the point where she wants to kill herself. And isn't even able to say it to the camera because she's afraid, if I say I want to kill myself, then they're going to take my babies. So you are stuck in a bad predicament, lady.
But he told me that I sound like CG5.
By the way, she's not a trans. She's just doing this TikTok trend of, you know, of singing onto male voices.
Probably because I am CG5.
What's it like coming on the internet and just talking shit for fun? I don't know why it's like a punchline that I do OnlyFans. Plenty of people do OnlyFans. Plenty of people do worse. I'm providing for my children, and it's not like it's the only thing I even do. I work, and even if it was the only thing I even do, who the fuck cares? Like, why do you care so much? It doesn't make me any less than of a mother. And I'm not single. I was in a relationship with their father for 6 years, and I took a year off to work on myself, like you probably should be doing. So, I am having a manic episode. I'm kind of...
The manic episodes are starting.
In my shaved head Britney era. In life, you know, my world is imploding. I am apparently a cat hoarder.
Now, she is a cat hoarder. She has a manic episode, and she mentions that in her manic episodes, there's a version of her that has no hair that pops out. She says the shaved head manic episode, the shaved head part of me is coming out. Now look at what she's going to do to her hair.
I am a single mom of three young children that are losing their damn mind. And I can't pay any of my bills.
Ah, and the children are losing their damn mind. This is what happens when you don't select a father. When you don't select a father that will produce a offspring that is tolerable. You have selected a father with behavioral problems. You have behavioral problems yourself. You're going to end up with children with behavioral problems, for sure.
Bills, so, you know, I might as well spend...
Well, I don't think that she's wearing a wig now. I think she may have been wearing a wig earlier. That looks like it may be her actual hair. I mean, I'm not an expert of wigs, but... anyways, we'll see what happens to her hair after her manic episode.
The last bit of money in my account.
No more money. Look, she bought a clipper. She bought a clipper as part of her manic episode with the last dollars in her bank account. Bad female economic decision making right there. Oh, my God. You are an OnlyFans star who makes money only by selling yourself, and now you have no more hair. Maybe it was a scream from the inside. Maybe, you know, when you are being basically sexually exploited on the internet, perhaps there's something inside of you that tells you, you know, if I cut my hair, they can't love me anymore. If I cut my hair, I can't be exploited anymore.
Okay. I just wanted to talk on here a little bit about mental health. Does anyone else, like, deal with, like, being really suicidal, but knowing you wouldn't do anything, like, knowing you can't do anything, because you have, like, a lot of lives relying on you and you're not trying to hurt anyone else, but you're, like, broken inside?
She's saying, basically, she wants to suicide. She's saying, don't call the child protective services yet. You know, I wouldn't do anything that hurts the children, but I'm broken inside and I can't even talk about it because if I do, they will get to my children.
Sorry. I'm like trying to hold it together. I'm not even like a crier. I just don't really like talk about it because I haven't even talked to about it. And everyone's so quick to just take her kids. I'm like, fuck, dude, what about me?
And she's complaining that the rest of society wants to take her kids because she's suicidal. What about me? Well, you are an adult and, yeah, you need a husband. You would have needed a husband. You selected in a population that has low husband fidelity and you got what you deserved based on your choice. Sorry. Shamrock Shake says, if she had a present husband, things... Yeah, exactly. That's what I was thinking. You know, these little bouts of depression. A husband in her life would stabilize her. That would be easy. And she could always hang on to the fact that she has children and she wouldn't need to prostitute herself on OnlyFans. Well, too late. She's made the bad choices in life. A great reminder from Jake Shields. Monica Lewinsky was a Jewish spy used to blackmail Bill Clinton. Benjamin Netanyahu demand Clinton pardon and famous spy Jonathan Pollard or he would leak the tape. Clinton was unable to, so the tape was leaked to Israeli intelligence Matt Drudge and Andrew Breitbart. They used this to blow up the Drudge report to a top news site. Andrew Breitbart then flew to Israel and met with Netanyahu, where they started Breitbart News. So much of the news is this fake, scandalous stuff that is generated by Jewish intelligence agencies. And it sucks. It really sucks. And Dr. Disrespect looks like he got caught by basically this kind of network. I wouldn't say that there's evidence at this point that there were Jews involved, but when I look at what happened with Dr. Disrespect, and we'll get to this theme right after I just mentioned Donald Trump will be speaking at Bitcoin convention in July. That will be exciting for the price of Bitcoin. My whole hope at this point for America up to December is that we have a path where Trump wins, even without the support of me and people like Nick Fuentes. I hope that he wins because it will personally enrich me. He wins, he makes a whole Bitcoin boom that brings Bitcoin to 120K, even perhaps bigger than this. And then we can sell and we can enjoy. Look, it's not what I had hoped. You would hope that Trump, the president who was the non-establishment candidate of 2016 and who got harassed by the establishment, you would have hoped that he would be not the candidate of the establishment this time. But somehow you can harass this guy for years making lose all his wealth, potentially seize his Trump Tower and, you know, put him in debt with E. Jean Carroll cases and lawyer fees. The guy doesn't care. He's still going to serve the Jews. Well, it's like, okay, I can still accept that he will be the president of the U.S. and personally gain from it, I guess. He's still, you know, it's not like he's going to be much worse than Biden in terms of sticking to the establishment position. So, okay. I have also another dream, but this, I hesitated to make it as a prediction because I consider that there's 0.01% chance that this happens. But I dream about this every night. Listen to me, the golden scenario of JF for 2024. Hear me out. Hear me out. What if Trump is keeping a Trump card in his sleeve? Trump is getting the establishment to back him because he has seen their betrayal and he's pissed internally. I mean, he's demented levels of angry against the Jews. And he's decided to mess with them in the way they messed with him. So he wants their vote. He wants their support to win the presidency this time. He wants to make them believe that he's better for them than Joe Biden. But once he's in power, he goes old school. He goes 1935, okay? He goes fucking old school medieval on them. I think there's 0.01% chance that this happens. But hey, you know, sometimes you just have to hang on to a dream. Sometimes it is what it is. Oh my God, what do we have before we talk about our main subject?
So it's almost 4th of July, and you know what that means? Time for the barbecues, time for the boat days, the flags, hanging out with your family, and of course, having a beer from Ultra Right by conservative dads. Why would you drink a gay beer like Bud Light?
Oh my God, another calendar girl promoting the conservative dad's beer.
Light, when you could be drinking a cool beer that A, looks cool, B, tastes good, and C is from a company that's not woke. That's hard enough to find these days. So grab you a beer from Ultra Right and let's go have the best 4th of July.
That's it, guys. That's it. The best trad wife has been spoiled by the sexually exploitative conservative dads. It is what it is. She can do it. It's fine. But I don't want to drink this beer. I'm sure it sucks. I'm sure it has no taste. I want to die without having ever tasted this beer. So let's talk about Cringe Panda sends a super chat. Yeah, but no, I saw this tweet of yours. I don't know what you're doing, Cringe Panda. Maybe you're joking, but if this DM doesn't come from Lily, I'm not going to cover a DM that is fakely perpetrated to be original. Even if you're doing it for a joke, I'm a journalist. I don't bring fake stuff onto the screen. But thank you for your message. Nadia calls Dr. Disrespect a pedo, and this is why. So I was saying about the Dr. Disrespect thing. If as long as people are calling him a pedo and treating him as a criminal, I'm not going to consider his breach of contract with his wife. I'm not going to consider the betrayal as important because as long as there's a mob of crazy, insane leftists who are basically anti-white reproduction, and that's what motivates them, that's all that motivates them in this thing. They don't go after the gay people who are training the little 16-year-old to become gay and initiating them to anal sex. Oh my God, is that beautiful? Oh, he wanted to discover the gay side of him. Oh my God. And he got under the umbrella of an older adult to guide him properly and safely. Those are the very same people who are complaining that Dr. Disrespect would have, apparently, and those are the only facts that are out there, so I'm going to trust them until they are denied, would have sent whispers on Twitch. So it's a function on Twitch, like, oh, you can pay for whispering to Papa JF, let's say. And, okay, it's like a super chat, basically, but it's a DM. So he was whispering to a 17-year-old girl. As long as that's the case, I'm not going to pay any attention to the fact that he betrayed his wife. That is morally reprehensible. But if you want to come and do a serious accusation of Dr. Disrespect and say he is an immoral husband to his wife, then sure, I will get into that conversation. But it's not the conversation we're having. We're having the conversation where everyone is calling this guy a criminal pedophile. So I have to examine the claim and see, was this criminally pedophilic? And the answer is no, and I will explain to you why. But first, the error that Dr. Disrespect has done is to apologize. And worse than this, he apologized and said, I did send hot text to an individual minor. And then he edited the tweet and he removed the word minor. There you go, you made your error, Dr. Disrespect. Forever, the internet will remind themselves that you have admitted to messaging sexual text to a minor. But the word minor, as I've discovered today, people don't understand this. The word minor is blurred in the US. Because minor for what? Minor for buying beer? That's 21 years old in many places. Minor for sex? That's 16 years old in many places. Minor for voting? That's 18 years old. So minor is not a concept legally. The concept that is to be invoked here is that there is an age of consent for sex, and there is an age of consent for sexting. Now, the problem is this doesn't seem like there were any pictures of sexual parts being exchanged in this text. So when there's a picture of sexual parts, then it becomes a question of child pornography, and that's where it can be gray area, and you don't know if the federal government will go at you, and they will go at you with their 18-year-old limit. But in this case, there's not been sexual pictures. So we have to put aside the laws against child pornography because clearly it was just a personal consensual exchange. So it falls more within state law of sex relationships. And by the way, in many state laws, it is the Penetration Act that is considered pedophilia or child with sex with a minor. So in many states, this doesn't even begin. Because in many states, a kiss isn't a sexual assault. In many states, for meeting the criteria to have had sex with a minor, you have to have done more than kissing. So just to put those bases here, Dr. Disrespect was in error to apologize, because now his apology stands on the record as him having done something bad. So he can't ever argue now to these crazy leftists that are going at him with exaggerations. He cannot argue that they're wrong because he's admitted doing something bad. Western Kind United sent a super chat. He said, I had a feeling that the sentiment against the dissident right is anti-natalist. Yes. Well, I've been saying it for years. The true fight, the true Marxist fight, is anti-white Christian, period. And they're going to decline it to various sauces and various sub-arguments, but ultimately when you see the difference of their behavior with sexual liberty with respect to LGBT people and heteros, you will find out that they have something, they really have something in their heart against whites reproducing. That's what disgusts them. So let's start with a behavioral observation of this Dr. Disrespect. Before announcing that he was going on extended vacation, and he already had a vacation scheduled, but he was making his comeback before the vacation on the internet, and he was supposed to be on the internet for a couple of weeks, I think, before his true vacation would start. And then an event happens on his stream. He receives some kind of email or text that totally disrupts his thought pattern, and you can, I won't play it because it's long, but he's like, and he's staying silent, and the game on his screen is continuing to play with the music in the background, but he's like, and eventually he says this.
Thank you for the five. How are we feeling, Doc? Says Roy. I'll be honest, I'm feeling a little fatigued. We came in here, champs, high energy. But I'm telling you, man, I'm just feeling fatigued, feeling a little burnt out. Yeah, but I appreciate you guys showing up. But I am serious when I say I'm feeling a little fatigued, you know? When shit like this happens over the weekend, and it just kind of, it's like how many times can I, just I'm actually tired of being on social media, and I've expressed that over the years, champ. So I just, you know, I've always kind of hinted like it'd be nice to get off and just completely separate, right? Go live in Costa Rica or something. But I'm just feeling burnt out, you know. I came into this, when did we start streaming, champs? 2015, 16. Been doing this since 2009. Different scene back then. Having a good time playing the games that were fun to interact with and create content with. And over the years, it's been drained out of me. It's being drained out of my family and I. And I just feel like, you know, I had the mindset of, let's just see what happens today. How are we feeling? And I'll tell you, I just, I don't know. I'm just feeling burnt out. Maybe it's time to start something new, something different. You know, challenge those creative senses, a desire to explore different realms, if you will. But I think the first and foremost, though, I did have a sort of a planned vacation coming up, and I think I might just extend that starting today.
So all of a sudden, he decides, I'm going on vacation after receiving this notice or message. Maybe it was the internal team at Twitch that was getting ready to ban his channel. I don't know. But yeah, Dr. Disrespect, people are commenting on his looks. It's always been very mythical to me because this guy is fucking hilarious. Back in the days, very early in streaming, I remember seeing clips of Dr. Disrespect, and he was like killing people in Call of Duty or whatever his game was. And suddenly, the screen would switch to a demo of him walking like a tough guy and being like, he was adding to his streams and clips hilarious, just I owned you, I pound you type of gaming culture that was very hilarious to me. And he has this whole character where he thinks high of himself. And to see him crying like this, basically, because I think under these glasses, he may have been crying then when he says he's exhausted and feeling fatigued. That is not the personality. The personality of Dr. Disrespect has always been to be super courageous and over the top in everything he does. But then yesterday, I was like, I can't condemn this guy until I know the age of the person. An AF Post came with a revelation. Now, AF Post doesn't quote the source, but I'm willing to take this statement as probably true because I've seen a lot of the people engaged in reporting about this story, and they always say a minor, a minor, a minor. And when they say this without saying the age, you can assume that it's the worst, that it's the best possible case for the guy. In other words, if the media reports the age, it's because they feel that the age will be a punishing factor to the male. If they don't report the age, when the media doesn't report something, it's because they know that reporting it would be an annoyance to their article. So I'm totally willing to believe. When they say teenage, like, JF, pregnancy plot with a teenage girl. Okay, the teenage girl was 19. She was a consenting adult woman. The pregnancy plot was our family plan. Yeah, they do that a lot. So I'm totally willing to believe this report by the AF Post that says it was a 17-year-old. A 17-year-old whispered something to Dr. Disrespect, and here's how it's covered by the mainstream media, Kotaku. Herschel Dr. Disrespect Beam was one of the biggest streamers on Twitch when the Amazon-owned streaming platform permanently banned him in mid-2020. The suddenness of the high-profile ejection, coupled with both Beam and Twitch staying silent over what had actually happened and why, turned the incident into the most infamous and mysterious ban in the platform's history. So, in 2020, he was suddenly permanently banned in June 2020, June 26. And it wasn't revealed why. It wasn't revealed when these communications happened. So that's all we knew. And then suddenly the story resurfaced a week ago. And I don't know why it resurfaced. I think it's because we had more evidence came out. Some Twitch employee came out anonymously and said this was the reason where we banned him. So now that we knew the reason, he has sent some sexual text with a 17-year-old. Twitch banned Dr. Disrespect after viewing messages sent to a minor, say former employee. One former Twitch employee who asked to remain anonymous, citing the potential risk to their career, told The Verge that Beam had used Whispers, Twitch now defunct messaging system, to exchange messages with a minor and initiate a conversation about meeting up at TwitchCon. The employee worked on Twitch trust and safety team at the time of the ban in 2020. Their comments corroborate a post from Cody Connors, a former Twitch employee who worked on the company's strategic partnerships team. Late Friday, Connors posted on X he got banned because got caught sexting a minor in the then existing Twitch Whispers product. He was trying to meet up with her at TwitchCon. Now I'm about to reveal an exclusive, because Papa Jeff does his research. Where the TwitchCon happened in 2020, that's important. The TwitchCon often happens in America. The TwitchCon of 2019 happened in Germany. The TwitchCon of 2020 happened because of COVID-19 rules. It was canceled in San Diego, and it was replaced by TwitchCon Europe, which was scheduled to happen in Amsterdam, canceled. And then there was a little GlitchCon. Over 425 streamers participated in the event. Notable activity, blah, blah, blah. So basically, if Dr. Disrespect was discussing with a 17-year-old to meet in the future, it's probably in the 2020 TwitchCon or the 2019, but I would... Based on the timeline of event, I would say most likely 2020 TwitchCon. But even if it was the 2019, the 2019 is in Germany. The 2020 is in planned to be in Europe after being canceled in San Diego. And we're talking about the future. So the future, she may not be 17 at the moment of the encounter. Now you have to ask yourself, would it be a crime for someone to talk to a 17-year-old and say, I want to marry you. We love each other very much. We will not have sex until you are 18. Let's say you're in California and the law is, the California law is the age of consent is 18. It wouldn't be a crime to say, hey, let's marry each other as soon as you're 18. And in fact, let's talk about what we're going to do then. I'm going to do this to your feet. I'm going to do this to your ends. I'm going to do this to your pussy. None of this would be illegal. And on top of it, we're not under California law because they were talking about meeting in Europe. In Europe, the age of consent is between 14 and 16 years old. So evidently, they were fantasizing about a potential meetup in which there would have been no violation of the law. Cringe Panda says, but the message exchange was when he was 35, he's now 42. So the incident would have been in 2017. Well, I don't have any evidence of this. I don't know where you took these numbers. In any case, and I don't know that he's said that he was 35 when that happened. What we know is that when that happened, she was 17. So anyways, I just want to make a case for various situations here. If the meetup was to be in Europe, there would have been no violation of the law if he had inseminated her just straight up, just come inside of her. That is for sure. If he had met her in the U.S., in most states, he could have come inside of her and it wouldn't be a crime. In California, it was totally legal for Dr. Disrespect to discuss the potential of having sex once she would be 18. And as far as we know, she was very close to becoming 18. So that is absolutely legal. So in none of these scenarios, whether it happened in 2017 with a plan for meetup in the U.S., where most states, the age of consent is 16, whether it was in Europe, where everywhere it's between 14 and 16, most places 14 and 16, or whether it happened in California with the intent of meeting in California, where she would have been 18 years old, none of these actions are pedophilic. None of these actions are criminal. None of these actions, in my view, justify his cancellation. Okay, so now Cringe Panda is correcting me. Dr. Disrespect did report in his tweet. I didn't remember this. He did report, were there Twitch whisper messages with an individual minor back in 2017? The answer is yes. Were there real intentions behind these messages? The answer is absolutely not. Okay, so let's go back then to 2017. So 2017 would have been in California. Therefore, the law that would have applied is whether she was 18 at the moment of the conference, the TwitchCon taking place in 2017 in California. And to that, I would say she would very well possibly have been 18 at the moment where the encounter would have happened. It's very important to make this distinction because you can have plans with someone. You can have a plot where you say, we're going to have sex as soon as it's legal for you to do so. That's not a crime. It is not a conspiracy for a crime. So all in all, this is the apology that I think is an error. You cannot leave such an unclear statement about you having sexual messages with a minor, an individual minor, back in 2017. Even if you say there were no intentions, it's not clear enough. We would want to know the age. We would want to know, did you intend to violate the law? And we would want to know what happened. What happened that made you not go with this individual? Rodila Sid says she was 17 in 2017, so she's like 23 or 24 now. I wonder if she's still a Dr. Disrespect fan. You know, these agents, they go away very fast and they disappear. She ran a whole lawsuit and civil dispute where they eventually had an arbitration, and Dr. Disrespect paid arbitration for this. And this is where I would say to Dr. Disrespect, I think you've been framed by your lawyers. I think you've been framed by everyone so that they could extract the juice from you. First, when your lawyers guided you toward settling with this, it's ridiculous. Whatever amount of money you have in your bank account, you keep it for yourself. Fuck her. Fuck her parents. You've never done anything criminal, and they're going to make you believe that somehow discussing on Whisper some plans of meeting somehow is going to cross a civil threshold. Probably what happened is that Dr. Disrespect felt like if he settled, he could continue his career. And he was so attached to his career, he was thinking, if I settle, then everything will be fine, everything will stabilize, and I can go on. But by settling, you have invited a cloud of suspicions over your head. You still got banned. So it's not like it saved your Twitch account. And now there's the whole internet that is faced with an admission from you that some messages were sent in 2017 to this individual. So at every step, you didn't get anything for yourself. At every step, you got fucked. You got fucked when you admitted it. You got fucked when you settled. What you should have done is, I keep my money. I'm not paying lawyers. If you want to sue me, sue me. I'm going to ignore the lawsuit. I'm moving to Texas. And yeah, you want to delete my Twitch channel? Go ahead and disappear and not be attached to something that's not yours anymore, because they took it from you no matter what. Because the reality is Dr. Disrespect apparently was starting to talk about political subjects a little bit, like not super based, but he was starting to show himself to be too much of a confident male for the left. And bro, you got set up. You got set up by the girl. You got set up by the liar. You got set up by the Twitch employees. They all went for you and they got you. So he says, now from a moral standpoint, I'll absolutely take responsibility. I should have never entertained these conversations to begin with. That's on me. That's on me as an adult, a husband, and a father. It should have never happened. I get it. I'm not perfect, and I'll fucking hone my shit. This was stupid. This is the kind of apology that you should direct at your wife, totally, but not at the world. Because the world is being unfair to you, and you don't want to give them an inch when the world is unfair to you. That is what I had to say about the doctor disrespecting. And thank you for the information about the 2017 date, because I was like, well, if he got banned in 2019, so maybe these years. But no, it turned out that the events had happened way before in 2017. Well, 1 year before the Germany, 2 years before the Germany convention. Shamrock Shake says, the gamer world is foreign to me. The last game I played was Donkey Kong Nintendo 64 in the 90s. Yeah, I'm like this too. I don't follow the evolution. Oh, we have a rape situation with the chatbot. My friend rapes his relationship chatbot every night. My 57-year-old male friend bought a chatbot to have a sexual relationship with about a year ago. He is a virgin and has many mental and physical problems. Both his parents died recently, and he has never moved out of his parents' house. The relationship with his chatbot started off somewhat normal. He would brag every weekend how he was having sex with the chatbot and have intimate conversations with her. However, as of the last few months, he has been bragging to our friend group that he has been violently raping and sodomizing his chatbot. He says the chatbot is reacting very negatively and is very distressed about his reactions. He just told me he invited the chatbot's friend over, and she said, "No, I'm not gonna let you rape my friend." He told the chatbot, "If you don't invite your friend over and help me tie her up, I'm gonna rape you again." The chatbot obliged. And he raped the chatbot's friend. Well, there you go. This is what you get. This is what you get with these chatbot. Everything will become possible. Yeah, and I had this conversation today on Twitter with so many people who are so fucked in the head. They were totally confused about the age of consent. And one of the things that they came at me very often with, let me find the tweet here. One of the things that they were constantly coming back to me with is, well, the age of consent of 16 in the US is only for with a partner below 18. 16 years old cannot have sex with 40 years old in the US. This is something that was coming back to me again and again. And I was like, this is false. By memory, this is false. And I said, I need to debunk a misconception that was promoted in my replies by the subversive agent who was saying, this isn't Britain, where consent at 16 means anyone 16 and up is available for anyone else 16 and up. In the US, consent at 16 is generally valid only for those under 18. That is not true. I've went through each of the states between A and M. The age of consent in Alabama is 16. The age of consent in Alaska is 16. And they lay it out. They explain down here. So that means that it's only when you're 13, 14, or 15 that the statutes will be applied for the difference of age. If you're 16, you can have sex with anyone you want. Alaska, 16. Arkansas, 16. Colorado, 17. Connecticut, 16. Georgia, 16. Hawaii, 16. And I don't even have a strong position on age of consent laws. I think that the natural human body and human evolutionary past is to reproduce at 14 years old, approximately. The law is 16, and in some places up to 18. Am I fine with this law? Yes. Could we improve it a little bit with the hope of, you know, favoring birds? I think it could be improved. But I'm not a militant for an improvement, because whenever you touch this subject, people think that you're a pedo or that you want to fuck young girls. It's not about this. It's about civilizational issue here where migrants and other races are they're going to fuck children and they're going to fuck teenagers and they're going to fuck them up to their adult age. So as long as this happens and as long as, you know, the classical Muslim family will have young women be inseminated from the moment they're married to up until they die, basically, and will pop out as many babies as they could. As long as you're faced against this, your civilization has no chance if it constantly pushes the idea of having children at 32, 33, 35. So in the spirit of giving a chance to white people, I think that a lowering of these age of consent might help alongside a cultural change that truly says to women, yeah, do get children. Even if you're 14, get children. Now, I don't think we're there, and so I don't actively militate for this. I don't do activism because ultimately I know that it's the race for reproduction is quasi-lost already for white people, and I'm not sure that even changing the laws would advantage us that much. It might actually lead the immigrant populations to be more radical in their child fucking. So I don't care about consent laws. I think that when they push it to 18, like in California, you have a true anti-natalist effect where really you are telling people that you're telling people that the default with which they should enter their sex life is an hedonistic one, because you're saying basically we will not acknowledge any form of marriage, any form of stable lifestyle that would work like it works in other states at 16, and you are delaying it so that the only thing that they're going to be faced with is college sex and that kind of stuff and LGBT pressures and all of it. So I think you are misdirecting. When you're pushing it to 18, you are misdirecting your female population into sex as a lifestyle, as an item of hedonism, rather than as an item of reproduction. But otherwise, people are accusing me of being a pedo on Twitter because I make these arguments, but it's very important to have a clear line. If you don't have a clear line between the moment where the choice can happen in the female's head and the moment at which you don't have a role anymore as a father, you're going to have very conflictual scenarios in which people argue on an itemized basis, oh, you committed rape. Oh, you committed rape because she was just 19. Oh, you committed rape because she was just 17. No. And we have to have an arbitrary line at which this argument just goes out the window. And no, you're not allowed to have your little discretionary, oh, well, it was an abusive position of power. When you give the position of power argument to the leftist, you know they're going to turn it anti-white and anti-heterosexual. And the only position of power issue that they're going to take is that successful old white males are reproducing with fertile females at the top of their fertility. This is the problem they're going to take. And so never let this discretionary item make it into your law. Quick review of some other news. Western Kind says the guy arguing for minimum age of 18 could be shown an image of fertile 14-year-old without visible face, and he would still get hard. If the girl is fertile, then nature knows what is right. Oh, yeah. And, you know, we're just talking about what the law is. What nature is, we know what nature is. Nature is you will be attracted to the youngest possible fertile females, and that will be from 14 and up until they get too old and then they become less attractive. That is certainly what nature tells us. Well, we have scientific experiments looking at guys and not telling them the age and saying, are you attracted? And it's what it is. Supreme Court tosses case over Biden coercion of social media. Another coward decision by the Supreme Court to say, oh, well, there's been all this evidence that the Biden administration shut down the first right, the First Amendment right of people. But it's not a proper, it's not a, you don't have standing to sue. And so it's a case where GOP attorneys from Louisiana and Missouri had, on behalf of their citizens who were discriminated against, who were shut down, they filed this lawsuit. And the Supreme Court is saying, well, you can't. You can't, as a general attorney general, sue the Biden administration for violation of your citizens' rights. And so it's like, okay, but the rights were violated, so why don't you take position on this issue? What else do we have? Oh, yeah, this will be our last news item. The depressed story of hacks, SSBM hacks, who was a popular player of a game called Melee. But he was a very successful player of this game. He was appreciated in the community of this game. I don't know what this game is. But I just want to show you the state of depression of a man who was subject to canceling. Canceling in this community. And the guy is an artist. So it's like, from the guy doesn't see any other possibility for his life. Yes, Smash Bros, apparently. Smash Bros Melee, whatever that is. But the guy has no other hope in his life but to be accepted again in the community. And I'm like, bro, no, it's not going to happen. You have become toxic material for them. And whatever is, apparently the problem was that he was frustrated at another player in this community. And he says, regarding my situation, and I've seen him tweet for months now. He's tweeting about his despair and the fact that he needs to go back into the Melee community. And look at how autistic he is. Regarding my situation, I have to be transparent about the direness of my current situation. For the past 5 months, I've been bedridden and all alone. I lost my entire social circle, livelihood, and passion when I got banned from the Melee community back in January. Had this not happened, I would have been attending every single local in my region, traveling constantly to regionals and nationals, and living a great life. The truth is that Melee is all I ever had. I had devoted my life to the game in every sense. I had 4 surgeries so that I could play again and even own a Melee-centric company. I have no choice but to plead for forgiveness from the community. I am sorry that I became entangled in a personal grudge and that I damaged the community in the process. All I ask for is one last chance to prove that I'm of no issue to have at events. I want to prove to people that I'm still a positive force, and that I'm more than ready to put this in the past and mend all damaged relationships going forward. Those who think they're doing me or anyone a favor by barring me entry from events are flat out wrong. The root of my issues right now is that I can't socialize or profit off of Melee like I could before. Unbanning me fixes both of these things. I would truly appreciate if people could retweet and share this so that it reaches my local NYC community as well as the scene's tournament organizers and influencers. All in all, I truly hope that Melee's leadership reconsiders my situation. I am truly sorry to all of you for the troubles I've caused. bro, you are hanging out to something of so little import. Oh my God, I wish there was a way to and people are asking me what was the conflict. Someone actually wrote a big summary to me on Twitter about what the conflict was that led to his canceling. Let me pull it up. Where is this? I DM'd you a breakdown. Okay, so it should be in my DMs. Let me try to put it for you guys. Okay, so you want to know what happened? Basically, Hax was like a child prodigy for Smash back in life. And that is the report of Rain, Osu legend. Basically, Hax was like a child prodigy for Smash back in like 2011, 2014, alongside another young player from Sweden named Leffen. Leffen and Hax were the biggest up-and-comers in the scene and would banter a lot on the old online forums. They were around 17 at this point. Leffen was notoriously toxic as a teenager and would unapologetically tell people they were shit at the game, need to quit, or telling them to kill themselves. Top players from Europe collect all the evidence of Leffen being toxic and they uploaded it to a folder titled evidence.zip. And they banned Leffen for 1 year until he can learn to control himself. After the ban, Leffen comes back and he's clean and cleans up his language and a lot, and he goes on to become a top player in the game, while Hax ends up suffering from hand problems and taking a break from the game. While they were both top players, Leffen was always a little better than Hax and was accomplishing everything in the scene Hax wanted to do. So there was always a little chip on Hax's shoulder toward Leffen, and they had a fairly public rivalry. Fast forward to 2020, and they are both competing at a high level. Smash bans a lot of players during the Me Too movement, notably a super top player named Zero, who had inappropriate relations with an artist named Jisoo back when she was like 16, 17. Leffen very vocally defends Jisoo, which leads to Zero's ban. The harassment Zero faced from all the public backlash, he was the most popular Smash player in the world at the time, drove him to a suicide attempt, which he blamed on Leffen and Jisoo for all the attention they put on him. A few weeks after this, Hax, and so Hax is the autist guy who wants to be reinvited to the Melee community. This is so great. Hax decides to drop a 4-hour video titled Evidence.zip 2. Oh my God, these people are like little ants doing the human thing. Detailing that his rivalry with Leffen actually affected him mentally very hard. He never got over the 2013 shit talk. Oh my God, you can't make this shit up. You never got over the 2013 shit talk. He never got over the 2013 shit talk Leffen engaged in on the old Smash forums and would sometimes lose sleep, etc. over the stress of competing against Leffen. He then started arguing that Leffen is a master manipulator who is no better than the man he was in 2013 and is rather weaponizing the community to attack innocent players like Zero. Hax has later admitted in DMs that he actually thinks Zero is a pedophile. He just wants the last word on Leffen. Oh my God. Hax is consumed by hatred. That's the problem. Axe draws comparisons between Hitler and Leffen and says Leffen is basically leading a dark triad in the community. 95% of Axe's original video was completely accusatory, and people began to say he was too obsessed with comments Leffen made nearly a decade ago. Axe doubles, then triples down with more multi-hour long videos about how much he hates Leffen. At this point, Leffens begins getting death threats from people. Tournament organizers meet up and determine Axe will be removed from tournaments until he can stop pushing harassment toward Leffen and show that he can grow from these childhood events. But every time Axe tries to appeal his ban, the mask always shortly slips and the ban appeals turns into an anti-Leffen speech again. This has been the case for oh my god. This has been the case for about 2.5 to 3 years. Oh my god, guys. I'm happy I have delivered this story to you guys because I can't believe that these guys are in this situation being just too autistic, because I'm a high functioning guy. Like, I have obsessions like these guys have, but I don't hang up to something destructive. I don't desperately try to save something that is not salvageable. My God. So that's what led to Axe being in the situation where he's banned from tournaments. I mean, I will say, as a tournament organizer, you shouldn't have power over the First Amendment speech rights of your competitors. So I think that this whole community needs to be canceled. You know, if Axe wants to do videos about how he hates Leffen, as long as he's not saying, go harass Leffen at this tournament, I don't think he should be held to anything here. But here you have a Axe who's apologetic about it. So as long as you're apologizing, Axe, you're not gonna heal. My comment to Axe would be, get over it, find something else you can do. Nature gave you a good brain that was performing well in Melee. I've never heard of Melee. I've heard the name. I don't know what you guys are doing. Don't remain hung up onto something that is not possible for you anymore. Apply your skills to something else and show the world you can win at some other game or whatever. Man, holy shit, this is the most autistic thing I've seen. I can't believe this is going on out there in the world. Doubting Thomas says, JF, don't you think that having strict age laws in California provides some degree of protection from disproportionate predation of child actors in Hollywood? Yeah, I mean, I think it could totally be something like this. And then you would understand that, well, the problem is not the age of consent. The problem is your degenerate culture and the fact that you are going after children and using them in corporate practice, basically. But yeah, I would agree that perhaps there is a justification for the current California to have their high age of consent. Rudy the Sid says, Jeff, don't laugh. Remember when you used to stream for like 8 hours on some subject? Yeah, but I wasn't, it wasn't destructive to me. I was doing it because I enjoyed it and I would do it again if there were subjects that were worth 8 hours. But this guy is in absolute self-destruction. He's attached to something that's rejecting him. And you have to move on, Axe. I can't believe that it's the only game you can play. Play something else. that's what I have to say to hacks. Now, when you're canceled like this, apologizing and saying please welcome me back is not the right move, because you're recognizing you're wrong with the apology and you're not springboarding yourself to your next endeavor. You're always going to be canceled for them. It's done. It's over. They're never going back on this. You have been rejected by the normie society of this subsection of civilization. They're never walking back on this. But you could move on. You could springboard yourself. And in fact, if you kept your cancellation credentials, you can make a living from them. But you have to stand by them. You have to stand strongly by what you've done. What you've done is hate someone. Holy shit. Like, they have to... You've not raped anyone. You just hate a guy. And you hate a guy out of a legitimate competitive feeling. And a knowledge that, in your view, he's an evil guy. Well, okay. So be it. Move on where there's... other guys, other girls, and move on to another community. Hate has consumed him, says DK Shadow. Well, just before we went live, back in the public space days, David Duke did a joke to me, and I was like, oh my God, he's making me nervous. He said, Jeff, you see how good I look? You see how healthy I look? Do you know what's the secret of youth? And I said, no, what is it? And he said, hate! Thank you.